Amen. Amen. We'll understand it better by and by. That's why patience is a virtue. You may not understand it right now, but in due season. Amen. We thank the choir for leading us in our songs of praise. We thank you for being here. It just wouldn't be the same if you couldn't be here. And we thank the Lord for everything, the good, the bad, and the ugly. God is still in control. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I want to share with you this morning out of the book of Luke, Luke, the 17th chapter. I want to look at verses 11 through 19. Luke 17, verses 11 through 19. God's word speaks to us in this way. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourself to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." Amen. Amen. We are in this Christmas holiday season, this festive time of being jovial and playing Christmas music and festive celebration and Christmas parties and spiked eggnog. But this season isn't always happy for everybody. Amen. In fact, this season can be a downer for a whole lot of people for a whole lot of reasons. I know there's just as many people that may be upset right now instead of being happy and jovial. Your money running funny, relationships not going the way you intended, economic upheaval, health issues got you down, family members that used to be here aren't here anymore. The list goes on and on and on again. But instead of focusing on all of the reasons you could be and are frustrated, I want to know today, what are you thankful for? How about shoes on your feet? Clothes on your back? Food on your table? Roof over your head? It could be worse. What are you thankful for? See, sometimes I just gotta have a faith that I can feel it in my bones. If you think about what God has done for you, you may become overwhelmed thinking about how God has kept you when you couldn't keep yourself. When you take the time to reflect back how the Lord intervened on your behalf, it helps you to increase your faith. Because if the Lord took care of you back then the Lord can take care of whatever you're going through right now. So what are you thankful for? Well, the Bible says that all good and perfect gifts come from the Lord. Therefore, since you're thankful for something, then the appropriate response is to tell the one who caused you to be thankful, thank you. But thankfulness to God is really a matter of faith. It's a matter of faith, because if you acknowledge that God is the cause of your thankfulness, then you also acknowledge that nobody else can do you like Jesus. You can be thankful to mama and daddy. You can be thankful to friends. You can be thankful to others, other people's generosity. But when you are thankful that God woke you up this morning in your right mind, you got to acknowledge that can't nobody do you like Jesus. When you're thankful for traveling grace, that you arrived from point A to point B in the same peace that you started out in, then you have to acknowledge that can't nobody do you like Jesus. When you're thankful that you're qualified, when you're not qualified for the position, though you didn't have the credentials, you still got the job anyway. When you're thankful for the use of your limbs, when you're thankful because you outlive your expiration date, when you're thankful that God kept your children safe while they were in the streets the other night, then you have to acknowledge that God did something for you that you couldn't do for yourself. And when I come to that conclusion, I can't help but feel something on the inside. I can't help but want to thank you, say thank you to the Lord that makes all things possible. But it takes faith to acknowledge that you have someone greater than you, to thank for your blessings. That's why I want to preach today on the theme of faith I can feel. I want to talk about 3 points, that is, a faith that stimulates action. It is a faith that stimulates obedience. And the last is a faith that stimulates thanksgiving. Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, and he was traveling between Galilee and Samaria, when a group of 10 men who had leprosy met him as he approached the village. They stood at a distance, and they called out to Jesus, "Master, have mercy on us." And right off the bat, the scripture gives us a reason to rejoice. Because for Jesus to be traveling along the borderline of Samaria and Galilee to get to Jerusalem was controversial, because the Jews and the Samaritans despised each other so much that even going through Samaria to get to Jerusalem was a shorter distance, the Jews would rather go all the way around just to avoid Samaria. This is no alien idea, because today in America we have train tracks that were built through our communities whose design and location was put there to separate black folks from white folks. In an article in the Washington Post in July of last year, Emily Badger and Darla Cameron entitled "How Railroad Highways and Other Man-Made Lines Racially Divided America's Cities," it talks about this very thing. It says blacks were often historically restricted to neighborhoods that separated them from whites by railroad tracks, turning the tracks into iron barriers of race and class. And the article goes on to point out that that's where we get the phrase "on the other side of the track" from, this man-made phenomenon. It was a physical barrier to keep some in and to keep some out. The things about these types of barriers is that they can exist for so long that people begin to stop seeing them, though they know they exist. Others will defend them as necessary for reasons other than bigotry and discrimination, yet all the while maintaining a policy and practice created out of discriminatory values and beliefs. These explicit and implicit man-made rules and guidelines are often very difficult to overcome, because sometimes even the very ones that these policies and practices were created to control and subdue are the very ones fighting you and attacking you over pointing out the harmful effects of these policies. In other words, people in bondage are oftentimes the very ones who try to stop others from getting them free. Amen, somebody. But when we see Jesus walking on the border of Galilee and Samaria, we learn that Jesus will go places that other folks won't go in order to see about you when you can't take care of yourself. For instance, other folks may cross over the tracks to work, but then before the sun goes down, they make sure they're out of Samaria. Other folks may play on the other side of the track, but before the sun goes down, you better not get caught by the police driving around that gated community. There may be some places that are hard for you to get into, but what I like about this text is that Jesus isn't scared to go to hard-to-reach places. In fact, Jesus is not a respecter of person because, you see, he traveled on the borderline between Galilee and Samaria because everybody needs Jesus. He wasn't just a savior for the Jews, but he was also the savior for the Samaritans. He wasn't just a savior for the Jews and the Samaritans, but he was also the savior for the Gentiles as well. He isn't just their savior, but he's our savior too. In fact, Jesus transformed the train track world that tries to separate us from everybody else by becoming a bridge that men and women can cross over, not only to get to God, but to reconcile back to one another. Because Jesus will go places other folk won't go, or can go, or don't know how to get to. The Bible says that when Jesus approached the village, that the men with leprosy stood at a distance, and in a loud voice they called out, "Jesus, have mercy on us." You see, they stood at a distance because those who had leprosy legally had to keep a distance between them and other people. That means they could never be in contact with someone else unless that someone else was just as bad off as they were. That's a word for us today, because how in the world do you expect to get healthy if you're confined to only hanging around sick people? They say the worst place to recover from a sickness or ailment is in the hospital, because people have been known to die not from what they came in for, but from what they caught while they were there. Maybe it's your environment that's making you sick. But when they saw Jesus, they must have heard about his reputation and how he's healed others and blessed others, and they called out his name. "Master, have mercy on us." They went into action and they did all that they knew to do, and they cried out with a loud voice, "Master, have mercy on us." If Jesus did it for them, then I believe that Jesus can do it for you. Sometimes we see what God has done for others, but we don't think that God will actually do it for us. But if God did it for someone else, that gives evidence that God is able. I don't know if God will, but I know that God can. Instead of worrying with people who can't do a thing for you, turn to Jesus who's able. I don't know how long they had leprosy, but however long it was, when Jesus came into town, their faith went into action. And instead of staying discouraged, waddling in their misery, the Bible says they called out with a loud voice. You missed it. It took faith to even speak up. And when they spoke up, they didn't speak with their heads down. They weren't mumbling around with unintelligible tones. They spoke and said, "We're over here. We're still alive. We just need some help." It takes faith to speak up, because so often we think nobody will even hear. If they do hear, they don't care. If they hear, they probably can't help. But I'm reminded about a verse that says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And sometimes, brothers and sisters, when you live on the other side of the track, the only thing you have at your disposal is your voice. Sometimes it takes courage to speak up. But I remember somebody saying that the squeaky wheel gets the oil. The crying baby gets the bottle. And if you're in need, sometimes God has already given you your best advocate, and it's your own voice. All you have to do is use it. Their faith stimulated them into action. And if men who were cast out of society because of their illness can find enough faith to throw them into action, what's your excuse for being quiet and inactive? You better call on the Lord while he still may be found. For those who call on the Lord, the Bible says, shall be saved. They did all they knew to do, all that was at their disposal. And when they saw Jesus coming, they called from a distance, Jesus, have mercy on us. That's all they had was their voice, and they used what they had to get God's attention. Their faith stimulated them into action. And when Jesus saw them, he told them to go show yourself to the priest. And as they went to go to the priest, they were cleansed from their leprosy. They called out to the Lord for help. Then they did what the Lord said do. You see, brothers and sisters, these men could have been disappointed that Jesus didn't come to them and touch them and heal them right away. They could have been disappointed that they called out to Jesus and that he didn't make some miraculous pronouncement of healing and restoration as he has done for others. They could have been disappointed because their expectations weren't met by God. And it could have caused them to ignore what Jesus told them to do. How many times have you called on the Lord and he didn't give you the answer you were wanting and you became discouraged and disgruntled with God? With God, with your life, and with the church. Well, you can learn from 10 lepers that faith will cause you to be obedient. They did what Jesus told them to do without any evidence that they would get anything in return. You see, the Bible says that on their way to see the priest, they were healed. But the only reason to go to the priest to begin with was because you were already healed and you needed to be formally cleared. But before there was evidence that everything was already right, Jesus told them to go to the priest and be cleared of their leprosy, though they could still see signs of leprosy on their skin. Sometimes your blessing comes when your faith stimulates you to do what God said do, even if there's no evidence that everything's gonna be okay. If you just do what he said, then the blessings may come in the process of trusting the Lord. Their healing came through the process. Their change came through the process. Their deliverance came through the process. I know what you wanted right now, but in order to get what God wants you to have, first, you have to go through the process. Because by being in the process, you demonstrate your faith in God. That's why your faith will stimulate obedience. And you have to have faith to be obedient to God, because sometimes God will call you to do some things that don't make sense to anybody else, because people of faith operate on different values. Instead of worrying about people, what people may say, or how much trouble they could get into by entering the city and going to the synagogue to see the priest, knowing the markings of leprosy were still on their body, they didn't even question Jesus. They just did what he said do. And because of their unwavering obedience, while on the way, they got healed. And I have to point out to you that they all went together. Their illness unified them. It was because of their illness that Jews and Samaritans lived and fellowshiped together. But one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet, thanked him and God. But the one who came back, that one was a Samaritan. With the same passion and zeal he called out to Jesus with, this Samaritan thanked Jesus for saving him from a life of isolation and despair. He came back with the same loud voice that he called out to Jesus, asking for help, to say thank God after help had arrived. Faith will stimulate you to be thankful But Jesus asked, weren't there 10? Where are the other 9? What happened to the other 9? Well, we know that Jesus told them to go to the priest to be pronounced clean, and on their way they were healed. And we can assume that the other 9 continued to go to the priest so they could be restored back to society. But the one that returned to say thank you to Jesus, that one was a Samaritan. That's why I need faith that I can feel. Because you see, the Samaritan would never have been accepted by the Jewish priest that the other men were going to go see. Because even without the leprosy, they saw him as unclean, unfit, and unworthy to fellowship and restore. He was facing double jeopardy because he was a leper and a Samaritan. But the priest didn't heal him. So that the Samaritan didn't need the priest's validation. For Jesus did what the priest couldn't do. It wasn't tradition. It wasn't culture, it wasn't policies, but there was something on the inside that informed the Samaritan, for Jesus said, your faith has made you well. I need a faith that I can feel sometimes, not one I gotta listen to somebody else pronounce you okay, but one that's been poured down on the inside, one that only God can give, one that only God can handle and control. The Samaritan went back because he recognized where his help really came from. Do you know where your help comes from? It don't come from the pastor. It don't come from the deacon. It don't even come from mama and daddy. But your help comes from the Lord. But when the pastor can't get to you, when mama and daddy can't get to you, I know one that can go anywhere, that can help you when you're down, pick you up when you fall, strengthen you when you're weak, give you answers when you're confused, hold you when you're tired, comfort you when you're weary. He can do for you what you can't do for yourself. All you got to do is put your faith in him. I gotta feel him sometimes. I gotta know he's around sometimes. It gets lonely sometimes, but you got to know that the Lord will never leave you or forsake you. He's right there in the midst of it all. And he cares. He cares what you care about. He cares what got you down. He cares what you're going through. But the Bible points out that whenever it saw Jesus do something, it didn't just say that Jesus was passionate, but it said Jesus had compassion. That means he don't just care, but he cares so much that when he sees you in need, he's willing to do something about it. Some folk, they just feel sorry for you. They just feel bad for you, but they can't do nothing about it. Jesus cares. And he can do something about your situation. I gotta have a faith I can feel sometimes. One that goes beyond just what people say, but one that can sense the presence of God. And wherever Jesus leads, I'll follow anywhere. We open up the doors of the church today that you may receive this Jesus in your life. For this Jesus makes all of the difference in the world. He can keep you when you can't keep yourself. He can make friends for you when you're friendless. He can be a friend to you when you're lonely. He can comfort you when you're weak. But the most important thing that Jesus does is he saves your soul. You can't do that. You can't save yourself. And because he saves you, he can give you some peace. He can be all things to all people. We open up the doors of the church today as we led in this musical selection. Let us stand. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. It's a confession of your heart. But you have to confess it for yourself. This is your invitation
doors of the church are opened. How will you respond? This is your invitation. Your invitation. The Lord is calling you. He's calling you today. He has what you need.
For Christ.